Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
So join me if you will. We're going to open up the Bible. We're going to read the first five verses of Ephesians 4. And then we're going to chat about it. It may become obvious to you as we read them why. I don't have lots of notes, and I just want us to have an honest discussion, and it may not. If it's not, we'll get there. But as we normally do, I certainly want to give pause as after I read it for your input, questions, thoughts, and we'll chat through it. But starting with Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. I said five, I meant six. My apologies. So let me read that one more time. It's so short. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Actually, let's pray before we start that. God, thank you. Thank you for this letter that was preserved. Thank you for the life that has spoken into the church over thousands of years and for what it will speak to us this morning. I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart to see you, to understand, and to know you. Would you give us wisdom, we pray, this morning as we chat through this. In your name, amen. Okay. The floor is yours right now. Any questions, observations? Yes, Ms. Barbara.
I read a book, it's been years now, but in this book, it was a pastor, and he said that you accepted Christ, but later on, you had to have this baptism of the Spirit. Well, this verse tells you that there is one calling, one baptism, so that proves that it's wrong.
There are scriptures. So there is like one water baptism. There is places in Acts where it does talk about that, like a baptism of the Spirit. But it's not. But you're right. I mean, I think people have taken that language and try to turn it into a stepping stone of this is. That was what I was taught, and that was one reason I kind of walked away from some of what I was raised in, because it was this, well, first, you're saved. And what that entailed was walking down an aisle, praying, making a choice to get up out of your seat, walk down an aisle, pray a prayer, right? That's a very common experience for a lot of folks. Then be baptized in water, and then be baptized in the Spirit. And I couldn't ever grasp that, and the church that I went to never could give me theological roots around it. And so I just like, if you can't help me, that once I started asking those questions. But certainly, I think one of the biggest drivers there, Ms. Barbara, is that there is this unity, this thing that Paul is driving at. There is one God. I'm going to jump ahead, so let me not do that quite yet. Let me just leave it open. Any other questions or observations or?
This is not as close as you think. here are things that, you know, are, yeah, that we hold to, that, you know, without fail, we hold to these things. So,
yeah. Paul, definitely there is some creedal language or formats to that, that, like, here's some things that should be. One of the commentaries I read, so what Tom said, sorry, for those joining us online, sometimes I jump ahead. I love this section of Ephesians, so I get excited, so I apologize. For those joining us online, one of the things that Miss Barbara mentioned was talking about the one baptism, that there was one God, one baptism. Tom brought up that some of this language sounds a lot like the creedal, like there's not a lot of creeds, so the night, so the Apostles' Creed is really credited back to about 80 A.D., right? The Nicene Creed was about 120 B.C., I mean A.D., sorry. And then this, though, Paul, this is probably around 40, 50, this is earlier, and Paul is writing these kind of things that sound like a creed, like here's some things that we believe, that there is one God, there's one baptism, there's, and so one of the things that Tom was bringing out, somehow I called a friend of mine, and his voicemail was going off. So one of the things that we see from Paul here are these kind of statements of, here's some things that we believe. And so, yes, very much so. In fact, the Nicene Creed was very much in my brain as we were reading this. The Apostles' Creed is very similar. We're just doing that now. Yes, Laura. Right. So what Laura said was one of the things that stands out to her is some of these things that Paul attributes to the Christian life aren't, they do manifest themselves externally for sure, but some of them are theological things that should shape how our external actions happen, and those things aren't some of the dogmatic, you know, again, going back to how I was raised to be a faithful and true Christian, once you followed all those steps, well, then you did the things like attend church, be involved in church, give, right? And none of these are bad, but they aren't necessarily markers that Paul is bringing out here as true, because you would see that, and what you'd find out is a person who was doing all those things and on the elder board or deacon board or whatever setting that you grew up in. For us, it was a church council, even though that's a Methodist language. We weren't Methodist. But you'd find the folks on there did those things. They'd tithe and they'd pray and they'd be involved in church to do that, but they didn't share unity and they didn't share some of this stuff. And so I think some of these things are primary. In fact, when we get to the Sermon on the Mount, I think you'll see Jesus is telling them that as well. Like, hey, I'm not saying praying is bad, but what I'm looking at is the heart, right? So yeah, I mean, I think that's a common experience for a lot of believers and some folks. Well, we're going to talk about that, so I'm going to stop. Anything else? Yeah, in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, sure. Could be.
Right, you're wrong.
Yeah. Which doesn't fight for unity, right? We're going to talk about some of the breakdown of some of those words. But yes, Mary said that one, another place, and she referenced 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul talks about without love, we're just a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. All right, maybe the other way around. Colin, do you have something? So what Colin just said was that what stood out to him was the intensity of the language. And he brought up two specifically at the very beginning was, I urge you, or I compel you, or I, how did our translation say?
I had implore in one.
Oh, implore, yeah. Those are, that's strong language. That's not just suggestion, I hope, or I'd like for you, right? This is stronger than that. And then the second place is, my translation says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Colin says, eager, be eager to do that, right? Is that right, Colin? Is that where that says that? And do you remember when we looked it up Wednesday what that, I think Ted said another translation.
Diligent.
Oh, yeah. Be diligent. Or was that on the very beginning? I can't remember, but.
I think it's in both places.
Okay. Oh, that's right. And then they were kind of different. Yep, you're right. And so, that some of the strong language that Paul is using is like, this is important, right? This is, and let me just go ahead and tell you, all the stuff that we talk about today is going to carry over next week when we get into some of the other parts of Ephesians 4. So this is just this kind of setting the stage. Yes, Sue.
Well, I was just thinking about the difficulty.
Yeah, so one of the things that Sue just said was just reading this and acknowledging how hard it is to do. And I think all of us, well, I tell you what, that is actually going to jump me into this. So let me stop. Is there any other comment, observation? I'll give you other chances. And you can always raise your hand, speak out, whatever. But anything else before we jump in? Okay. So, yes, it is hard. That is one reason I wanted to settle here for just a bit. Because let's keep before us today and next week. Hey, Bill, make sure we do whatever we did here in the back. Because that's, oh, you did. Okay, fantastic. Because that is actually, this first verse kind of shapes the beginning of this section of Ephesians. Because what Paul says, he uses strong language, but he says, therefore, What is the therefore, right? I mean, he's just gotten out of this praying for this spiritual power to be in the church. And then he begins this section and says, therefore. So continuing on with that thought, I urge you to live your life in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. All of us, I think if someone walked in this door and knew nothing about Christianity, they would understand when they hear this language that this is like they're being called to something, right? Like to live your life worthy of the calling you have received. Anybody, now I know my kids will probably raise their hand. Are there any potential folks who enjoyed, either still do or did at some point in your past with kids or grandkids, whatever, there was a movie called Lion King. Anybody like that movie? Okay. There was a scene in that movie where the dad lion, I can't remember his name, is telling the kid lion, whatever his name was, remember who you are. Simba. And what was his dad's name? Mufasa. Okay. So Mufasa was this dad lion. And he's talking to his son, Simba, and he's saying, remember whose you are. That's almost what Paul is saying here. Remember what God has called you to. And do more than that. Live your life in a manner that's worthy of that calling. Now, we all can feel the gravity of that language for sure. I think the place where we bail ourselves out a lot of times, this is just my opinion, you may have a different thought on that. That's okay. But I think one of the ways we bail ourselves out on that a lot is some people, I think one of two things happens. Some people have relegated Ephesians 4 to only folks who have a ministry vocation. And then they've written off the rest of Ephesians 4. That happens, right? If we read further, you would understand why. Maybe you know it because you've been in church for so long, you kind of know, like, oh, Ephesians 4, yeah, that's a chapter for pastors, worship leaders, youth pastors, you know, deacons, you know, people who have a ministry vocation. The other thing that can happen, I think, sometimes is that we just relegate that to, well, I don't have a calling specifically. I'm just a guy or a gal working a job. I don't really have a calling, and so I can kind of ignore this. The implication that Paul is writing to these churches around Ephesus is you have been called. Regardless of vocation. Let's remember when Paul wrote this. Was Paul a vocational minister? No. He'd do that on Saturdays, on the Sabbath. He'd go into the church, but this was a daily thing for the Christian church, right? For the Jewish folks before Paul began that. Now, at the beginning of his career, yeah. I mean, Paul was a Pharisee. He sat at Gamaliel. He was going to be one of those guys that Jesus talked against when we get to Matthew 6 in a couple of months, that Jesus talked against the wearing the long robes and the tassels and praying in public. That would have been Paul. And now, as God has captured his heart, after Acts 9, and we read how God captures his heart and what happens from there, Paul still has a calling, but now he has no vocation to set it in. So we read through various scriptures that he and Aquila and Priscilla at some points were just making tents together or repairing them or whatever it was they did with them, that he had a vocation that he worked that wasn't necessarily within the church, but they did look to him for that. Why? Well, part of it was because of the calling God had on his life, which was unique and different from maybe some of theirs, but it was also similar to some of theirs. Paul just got a little more notoriety than they did. But what Paul, and we were not there yet. I wish we were. We really talked about going all the way down to verse 13, and part of me now is drawn there. So just a heads up, in a couple of verses, Paul is going to not let you off the hook if you think this is just for vocational ministers or you think you haven't been called. What Paul would be saying to churches, all of you guys are called. And so as a result, live your life in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. James, who used to be our worship leader, used to tell me, and I never could figure out how to do it, we got an exit sign up there, and you know, I'm not a very creative guy when it comes to visual stuff. But he was like, man, we just need to put a sign up there as people are walking out the door of the church. Live your life worthy of the calling you have received. Just as a reminder, as you walk out of the church doors into whatever you have that week, to live your life worthy of calling to receive. I just wanted to sit there for a second. I don't have much to add to that other than the words that Paul wrote, because I think we all get the gravity of it and we all understand what it means. The calling we have received is a high calling. It's a calling, to salvation, and God has called us to share that salvation that we've received with others. The instruction we've received from God, he says, share with others. One of the last things that we read in Matthew that Jesus told his disciples was go. Make disciples. How do you make disciples? That was reduplicate yourself. Well, what does that look like if yourself is not something that's good to reduplicate, right? Live your life worthy of a calling you receive so that you can reduplicate what God has done in your life with someone else, and let's see what the Spirit does with that, right? So we're not making that. The Spirit does it, but God did say, go and make disciples. Go and share what you've learned with others so that they could embrace the same thing. And so we all have a calling, and Paul's urging at the beginning of this, live your life in a manner worthy of the calling you have received. Right on the heels of that, here's what Paul says. And how did you receive it? How did you receive his calling? With all gentleness, with humility, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And that would be hard enough for most of us. But he continues. Making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then he goes through some kind of characteristics of God, right? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in all and through all. So he goes in and kind of talks about some of these characteristics of God and what God has done for us, saying, hey, there's only one. Now, we have to remember, who is Paul's audience? Paul's audience is mostly Gentile converts to Christianity at this point. Ephesus, if we remember, was a city that was very big on outside religions and gods and different things. I mean, it wasn't just one. There was a bunch of them. There were many gods. There were many things going on. And so there was lots of them, and Paul is drawing them back and saying, hey, there's only actually one God, one baptism, not multiple, right? One faith, one hope. And then he talks about who God is, and he says he's in all, through all. Probably said that backwards. Who is above all, through all, and in all. That's who God is. So, what does that say for us? Because the biggest thing, as Paul is talking about who God is, and he's talking about this oneness that God is, right prior to that, he said, make every effort. Make every effort. Strive as much as possible to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, let's take that and see, or look at, or talk about what it looks like in our world today, specifically talking about the church. Because unfortunately, that is not what we see when we talk about church as a whole, at least in the U.S., but even globally. And how do I know this? Well, one thing I can tell you, the most common question I've gotten, concern I've gotten here at Mosaic. And it's been other places, it's not just here. With the creed that we say is what? Anybody want to guess what the most common frustration with that is? Catholic. One holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Because we hear that and we think, that's not us. That's somebody else, and I don't agree with everything they do. What do I not agree with? Well, they do some things with prayer differently than I do. They add Mary in there. I don't quite get that. And I'll just be honest with you, I don't either. I'm not up here trying to be an apologist for anything. I'm just telling you, like, there are some things we don't understand in other denominations. I don't understand if I go to a Orthodox church why they're swinging incense. I don't know. I worked for an Episcopal church for a little while. I don't understand why when the bishop came, he came with all this regalia and marched down the aisle. It seemed weird. And I was working in this church at the time, and I was like, man, that guy, he's got some threads, you know, that was something. I don't understand it. I don't understand when I go to the church that I grew up in. If you came to the church I grew up in, you may leave saying, I don't understand what the heck just happened. Because there'd be people run up and down the aisle, people falling on the floor, people yelling out in tongues, and then you're reading the scripture, and I'm like, man, this is talking about how it's supposed to be kept to themselves. What is going on? There's some guy talking about maybe there's a second bet. Like, I don't get it. And what do? We find everything possible that is different from someone else to not keep unity, right? We aren't bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. No. We generally, and I'm not, this is not, it's not us in this room necessarily, but it does include us. I'm talking about generally in the U.S. We aren't looking for how we can be unified. We're looking for, show me all the ways I can be disjointed with someone else. Show me all the things that they don't believe that I don't believe, and let, or that they do believe that I don't believe, and let me fight with them about that because I want to be right. We got people, when COVID happened, that was the biggest thing. Like, let's see if we can fight about everything there is to fight about, whether it's meeting in a church or not. And if we don't meet in the church, does that mean that you're living in fear? And God tells us not to live in fear, right? Like, am I the only one who heard that, or did you hear that too? And if you chose to meet, well, they don't care about other people, and so they don't love other people. And I don't want to be in church that doesn't love other people, so I'm not going. Is it just me that heard that, or did you hear that too? Right? Have you ever been in a room with two people, one maybe, possibly, from a persuasion that says humanity has free will and we can make our own choices and we can choose not to follow God and make bad decisions and do wrong things? And then someone else in that same room maybe grew up in a denomination that interpreted some things differently than the other person interpreted when it came to Romans, and even then some of John Calvin's writings, and say, nope, God's grace is irresistible. God's mercy only extends to those who extends to, but you cannot resist it. And so you don't have that free will, actually. You ever been in those rooms? I have. I've been in those arguments. Colin, you ever been in those rooms? Growing up PCA, you had to have been in some of those rooms, right? Instead of saying, Jesus Christ came, God the Father sent his Son into the world for one reason, and we brought it up in chapter 1, to love us extravagantly, to have mercy in abundance, so that when I blow it, going back to Jude's, he could present me in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy. And that's true for someone who may pray through an intermediary to God. God still died for that person, loves them, cares for them. Someone who believes that they have no free will versus someone who believes they have all free will, right? Someone who goes to church during COVID and wears a mask, or someone who goes to church and doesn't wear a mask, or someone who doesn't go to church because they're, hey, God died for all of it. And if we believe that, can we be unified? Because here's what Paul said. Paul said, make every effort to keep unity through this in this of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Another writer wrote this. As far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace with everybody. That dude cut a guy's ear off, by the way. He was ready to draw swords and go to battle for Jesus. Holy Spirit has so transformed his life that he gets to the point where he can say, as far as it depends on me, I'm going to live at peace with everybody if I can help it. As far as it depends on me, right? There's one thing I can control, and that's what I can control. I can't control what someone else controls. Paul, I urge you, live in a manner worthy of the calling you received. How does that flesh itself out? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I am a firm believer. I'll just tell you guys this. I am a firm believer that one of the reasons why I read month after month, I see article after article about the decline of church in the Western culture, and I believe one of the reasons is because we don't believe this to be true. Well, we'll read it in Scripture and say, well, the Bible's not untrue, so I believe it to be true, but then we live our lives in a way that tells us it is not true. Because let me tell you this, in a world that is finding every way possible to battle and to find the differences, we have news medias who are on two different sides of a political thing. Now, let's just get this out there. Who cares about politics? God didn't say, get into the political forces and that's how I'm going to win this thing. In fact, Jesus, when Peter's like having some struggles between like what I should do with the political forces and the Jewish culture versus what you're telling me to do, Jesus, and I don't have money, but I got to pay this temple tax because they're making me. Jesus said, go on a fish. You'll find enough money for you and me. Go pay it. Who cares? I've won this thing. You don't have to worry about it. But we worry about it, and we think we have that role to play because we like to be in control, or I do at least. Let me just throw that out there for me. And so I feel like my vote counts, and I got to vote the right way. And I'm not saying don't vote. Don't, do not hear that. Do not take this snippet and say, well, no. What I'm saying is that is not God. That is not our pinnacle. That is not what we're shooting for. Jesus is over and through all. And we have news medias that are taking two different political sides and pitting everybody against each other. And what's happening in the church? We're taking the bait. We're like that fish swimming around the water. And we see that. I don't know what fish eat, because if you ever go fishing with me, you will not catch anything. But they see something they like there and they snatch it, right? I don't know if it's crickets or worms. I've never figured that out. I'm horrible at fishing. My buddy Terry, before he passed away, would always tell me, take me fishing and teach me that. But I hated it. I was like, Terry, I just like catching. And he just liked getting out on the water and enjoying nature. And I get it. But we'd see that thing and we just grab it. And all of a sudden we're hooked. And we can't get away from it. And Paul and Jesus and Peter and all those people who had been formed by Jesus are saying, we've got to find peace. We've got to fight for peace. We've got to make every effort. And a lot of times we don't make any effort at all. We'll take the bait like that. It's like, yep, they believe different than me. I'm going to fight about it. I'm going to see if we can't split this thing into 18 different churches. Yeah, amen. Mary just said, if you didn't hear her, Satan would love it. I think he does. Because what would it look like to people who did not believe in God if they looked at the church and saw everybody, Catholic and Protestant, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist and Lutheran. Don't want to leave the Lutherans out. Methodist and Lutheran. What if we did that and they saw those people fighting for unity? Like, yeah, we have some differences in how we pray, some theological things. Yeah, that stuff is different, and we're still worship God how we feel compelled, but we're not going to let it drive a wedge in between us. We're going to find effort to find peace in this situation. And then people who hear all this noise they hear outside of the church, in the media and in the politics and in school and everywhere else they're getting it from, and they're seeing all these people divided and fighting in different stuff, and then they see the church saying, no, we're going to fight for unity, even if it's just amongst us. Because as far as it depends on us, we're going to live at peace with everybody. What would that do to people who looked into the church? Because what happens when we're doing the exact same thing they're doing? They look into the church and see, like, why go? Why go? They're doing the same thing I'm doing. Except they're not sleeping in on Sundays, and that's lame. I felt that very strongly this morning at 7 o'clock after staying up late to watch a ball game. Why go if they're doing nothing different? And I think this is a good start to listen to the words of Jesus and to see the guys that Jesus so influenced their life that they were willing to change. Remember who Paul was. Paul was a guy who was fighting every effort to find division. In fact, I'm going to go and kill everybody who doesn't believe the way I believe. And what did God do to his life when he got in there? Now he's saying, therefore, I, the prisoner, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility, gentle patience, bearing with one another in love. That wasn't Paul 25, 30 years earlier. Making every effort to keep unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Why? Why would we do that? There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, in all, and through all. John 17. You remember what Jesus prayed? Father, would they be one as you and I are one? And when we look out at how we engage with other believers, and if we don't see that oneness, Jesus' prayer hadn't quite made it yet. And so let's live our lives in a manner worthy of the calling we have received, one family under God. And let us make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Let's pray. God, just as you and the Father are one, I pray that we would be one. I join you in that prayer. I pray that you would convict us when we find efforts and ways to not be one. God, may we be an encouragement to people who find ways to be different, find ways not to live this verse out. We all know them. And God, may we be an encouragement to them to hear these words and to live their lives in a manner worthy of the calling they receive. May we be people who live our lives in a manner worthy of the calling that we have received. May we be gentle and patient with it, not overbearing and proud and braggadocious, but not compromising. May we make every effort to live in unity. God, forgive us where we have failed this. Thank you for your extravagant mercy that you pour your mercy on our lives, and forgive us when we blow it in these areas. But God, may we strive, may we make every effort to live in peace, to live in unity. God, I thank you for our differences. May we not be so prideful of them that we let them divide us. May we find unity in you, God. We love you in your name. Amen. That's what this can be. These are some simple things that we believe that we can find unity through. So I'd invite you, seat pocket in front of you. Nobody's in the front row, so don't worry about it. Everybody in the seat pocket in front of you, there's a Nicene Creed. Let's say these words together, just some basic things that we believe that we can find unity in. And let's begin with this. If you're able, stand with me as we say these. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things seen and unseen, We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.